So, you know, on this walk, all of us are facing different views in the world, and it often comes up in conversations wherever you're at, what your worldview is. Let's see if this thing's going to work. I am pushing the button. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong. Huh? Right. I believe so. Yep. It's on up here, but it's not doing anything here. Do you want me just to say next slide? That's going to get complicated here in a second because I'm going to be saying that a lot. Is there a particular button I'm supposed to? Yeah, you're going to have to help me out here. They had it working earlier. Aaron said he tested it. Nope, he's got it right there. How far? There you go. Is that working? Maybe? Okay, so if I got to stand like this and do this? Okay, so I'll be like this. All right. Maybe it's going to work now. At any rate, we are trying to develop a biblical worldview. And as Aaron said, we're going to be talking about relationships today. And what I want to do is pose this question: relationships, are we ready to have buildings that stand the test of time? As many of you know, I'm in construction, and in construction there's blueprints that you follow. There's a lot of trades that are involved in building a home. Just have this house here. This is something that was constructed just this year down in the Wixom area. This is a brand new home. It's less than 1 year old. And then here we have a house that, I'm not even going to try to pronounce this word in the beginning, but it's known as the King's Farm. And it's on the Fiore Islands, and one of the oldest continuously inhabited wooden homes in the world. The farmhouse was constructed in the 11th century, so that's somewhere between 1001 and 1100, using driftwood from Norway. So this house is approximately between 921 and 1,020 years old. It's almost a millennia. In the book of Genesis, we see some of the oldest living beings here that are described. We have in Genesis 5:5, Adam, who is made of the dust of the ground, lived 930 years. So the construction of this home was completed on the sixth day of creation. And then we fast forward a few years to Methuselah, whose death brought in, or at the point he died was when the flood came in. All the days of his life were 969 years, and the construction of his home was completed about 695 years after the construction of Adam's home. See where we're going with this here in a little bit. Here is the first baby born in Kalamazoo, Michigan. Okay, Rowan Jade Weimer. She was born at 12:14 a.m. on January 1st at Bronson Birthplace in Kalamazoo, Michigan. So the construction of this home was completed January 2021. So what we see is this contrast between a house where people live in and the people that live in it. So this house that was built this year and this baby that was born this year, and then the oldest known living house built out of wood, earthen material, and the two oldest men that are recorded in Scripture. You know, we all have our own home building projects. Each one of us has different things that we do in our own houses that we live in. But there are home building projects that go very, very wrong. And they can be from just some kind of, I don't know if the light switch wasn't working and they had to add another one, or they didn't have a double plate. This fixture just stopped working, and they said, we're not getting anybody to fix this. We're going to hang some flashlights. We'll change the batteries. That's how we're going to fix this problem. Not sure exactly what these people were thinking. because all the code books that I know of, you have to be a certain distance away. So I don't know if they want to plug in their blender and be able to get some water in there and take care of things, but that is a disaster waiting to happen. You know, kind of people just kind of choose their own way how they want to do things sometimes. What can I say? Nobody thought this one through at all, right? What is wrong with that toilet? I think the placement of that toilet is what is wrong with that toilet. Now, when I first looked at this, I was like, boy, they really constructed that deck poorly because it didn't take much for it to break. And then I realized that somebody put a jacuzzi tub up on this and didn't consider whether how they built their structure could hold this jacuzzi tub. This wouldn't work in Michigan. I don't know if you realize this, but ice would prevent you every time from getting into your house on this particular construction project. This doesn't work in any season. That tree should have been either taken down or they should have made that addition somewhere else. Again, just kind of thinking about some of the things that we don't think through in our own home projects. Right? Some of these things can just be, we just don't know any better, right? When I first started out doing construction, I didn't learn to take into consideration certain things that I needed to accommodate. Like, for instance, I may want to get into my refrigerator to get the food to cook on the stove. Just had one job, man. Just put the doorknob on the right way so that we could shut the door. How many of you ever feel like this, right? You're going through your life, you're trying to figure out how things work, how you relate to other people, and somebody goes, you know, you just had one job to do, just make it to where it could shut. Maybe just this, maybe sometimes, right? If I could just learn how to make this shut, and sometimes I get something in the way and it just doesn't get shut. I want to ask you a question. Who's the leader in your house? Who is the leader in your house? Now, depending on your perspective and what you're thinking about, you could come up with a number of varied ideas. Maybe it's you. You're a single individual that's occupying your home. Maybe it's a husband and wife, a married couple. A father and mother with parents of children. Now you can see. Maybe you're a single parent with children. I'm going to ask it a little bit differently. Who is the leader in the house? Is it you? Or is it God? I think maybe you're going to understand where I'm going to go with this, because I'm going to phrase it just a little bit differently again. Who is the leader in the house? Is it man? Or is it God? I think if we ask it that way, maybe bold it a little bit, we get the idea of who the leader in the house is supposed to be. And if you get where I'm going with this, the house that I'm talking about is the house that we have collectively together and the house that we are individually. Ephesians chapter 6, 1 through 3, children, obey your parents in Yehovah, for this is right in the Lord. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that that it may be well with you and you may live along on the earth. 1 Corinthians 11, 3. I would have you know that the head of every man is the Messiah. The head of the woman is the man, and the head of Messiah is God. That there is an order that we are supposed to walk in the body. To understand that order and to understand what the relationship is supposed to look like, Ephesians chapter 5, 21, a chapter before what's above, the idea that we are supposed to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of Elohim. One of the Psalms of David, Psalm 127, it's only five verses here. Song of degrees for Solomon. Except Yehovah build the house, the laborer in vain that builds it. So the people that are about that business, unless he's building the house. Except Yehovah keeps the city, the watchman wakes, but it's in vain. It's in vain for you rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an inheritance of Yehovah, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that has his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. A successful home renovation requires a good relationship between the master builder and architect, the individual or individuals that are the points of contact for the project, and also the tradesmen and tradeswomen that are involved in building any particular project. I would like you to know that you are the most amazing home renovation, home project in the whole earth. And that He is so intent on you being successful that He has written down the lives of countless people from Adam all the way to the return of our Messiah to describe their life and to describe the interactions and the things that happen. 2 Corinthians 5:1 through 3, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, this body, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. You see, your successful home renovation requires a good relationship between Yehovah, the Lord, who is the master builder and architect, and who He has chosen to be the point of contact between Himself and you, which is Yeshua, Jesus, our Messiah. And you, the believers in this room, the tradesmen and the tradeswomen that are involved in not just a construction project together, but more importantly, your relationship with Him and how this house is built, because that's how the neighborhood is built. That's how the neighborhood of the family is built. And without these individual points of contact, we have houses that are not constructed very well. A building to stand the test of time. Ephesians chapter 5, 30 through 32. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, of His bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother and shall be joined unto his wife. They too shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Messiah and the body, Christ and the church. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24, we see this concept in the Old Testament right there in the second chapter of Genesis. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. The idea of family right there from the beginning. An individual and another individual that come together to have a family. He said, be fruitful and multiply. I want this to be a large family. I want this to be something that is relational. This word cleave, dabak in the Hebrew, forgive my mispronunciation if I am so doing, a primitive word properly to impinge, that is to cling or adhere. Figuratively is to catch by pursuit. It's translated in the Old Testament some 54 times to abide, fast, cleave, cleave fast together, follow close, hard after, to be joined together, to keep fast, to overtake, to pursue hard, to stick, to take. Here's an example in the Psalms. Psalm 63, 1 through 8. A psalm of David when he was in the wilderness of Judah. O Elohim, thou art my El. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsts for thee. My flesh longs for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and thy honor, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness. My mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed, meditate on thee in the night watches. Because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadows of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul, and here's that word cleave that you see in Genesis chapter 2, follows hard after thee. Thy right hand upholds me. In the book of John, our Messiah, this is some of the last recorded prayers that we have and conversation of he and the disciples before he laid down his life for relationships so that people can be attached back to his Father, back to our Father. He says, if you love me, KJV says, keep my commandments, right? To obey, to guard, to chase hard after because of how important they are. Because if we learn to obey, this is Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, if we learn to obey by being corrected, right? So you want to have the chief architect, the chief builder, you want to follow his blueprints. And sometimes when you're doing things like on the pictures that we saw there earlier, can cause some really bad issues, right? That water so close to the electricity, right? Can have a shocking experience that you may not recover from. It says, we'll do right and live in peace. That's what's going to happen. When we understand the importance of this relationship and that he's the one that defines it, he's the one that sets up the parameters, and he only tells us things because he cares for us. Because to receive discipline is a sign that we are beloved children of a holy God. Amen? So if you don't believe in miracles, perhaps you all here have forgotten that each and every one of you are one. Each and every person in this room, the miracle of life from beginning to birth, from conception to delivery, is a miracle. So I want to remind you of how precious you are, how important you are to him. Scripture says he numbers every hair on your head. My hairs are getting less. He knows that. All right? A little sooner than I thought might happen. I'm only 46. Started losing them a few years ago. I also want to tell you that every new day is another opportunity, another chance to change your life. Don't allow the relationships from your past or your mishaps with current relationships to prevent you from moving forward and seeking after him with all your heart, mind, and soul. If you trip and fall, the scripture says a righteous man falls seven times, but he rises. Amen? We're going to look here briefly at an account that you probably are all familiar with. For sake of time, we're not going to read it, but the account is in 1 Kings chapter 16, 29 through 22, 40, and it's also in 2 Kings chapter 9, verse 29. Actually, I have a missing in there, but you'll see, you go to 2 Kings chapter 9, you're going to find the account. We have the account of Ahab, Jezebel, Jehovah, and Elijah. Ahab at this time was a king of Israel who provoked Jehovah, according to the scripture, to wrath more than any other king before him. He was leading an entire nation into idolatry, into pagan practice and pagan worship. And he had a wife, Jezebel. And it says later on in the book that she is the one that stirred up her husband to wickedness. So that household together was bent on serving other Elohim, having relationships with things that led to death instead of life. And we see here the interjection of Jehovah. He says that he instructed Elijah. He gave him instructions of what to do concerning Ahab and Jezebel. And he never left Elijah. Through the whole course of that event, he never abandoned Elijah. Now, Elijah, at the beginning, he obeys, right? We know the account, right? The offerings, the stop of the rain, the slaughtering of the prophets, right? But when Jezebel finds out, she sends a messenger to him. She says, I'm going to seek your life and I'm going to kill you like you did the prophets. And Elijah runs away in fear. You know, we're all going to face things in our life that will cause us maybe to question the relationship that we have with Yah or with others. Maybe sometimes in fear we may shirk away or back down. But we see as we go through the account that Jehovah speaks to Elijah on this mountain, and there's a storm and there's this earthquaking and all these things happening, but Yah speaks to him in a very still, small voice, in calmness, right? What does the scripture say about how he gives us water? He takes us to streams of living water, right? He gives us these moments of clarity in the midst of horrible things that can happen in our lives. And so what does Elijah do? Elijah returns to Ahab and he speaks to him. And we see an account there that Ahab was pricked in the heart. This king, who more than any other king before him, provoked Yahweh to wrath. Because he broke off a relationship, says, I don't want anything to do with you. I'm going to lead the whole nation away from you. And his wife was well in support of it. Says she stirred up her husband to do evil, to do wickedness. See, the importance of these relationships that we have with our king are not just about us. It is about the collective body together. It is about how we interact with one another. how we speak into one another's lives, the importance of applying the principles that we read here into daily activities. Because we are supposed to not just be about building this household, but the household of the kingdom. We're going to read a little bit of that account here. 1 Kings chapter 21, 17 through 20. And the word of Jehovah came to Elijah the Tishbite, saying, "Arise, go down to meet King Ahab." Now you remember, he ran away. He was scared. Right? You may have times in your life where your relationship's tested. Maybe you pull back. Maybe you're struggling. Righteous man rises seven times. "Arise, go down to meet Ahab, king of Israel, which is in Samaria. Behold, he is in the vineyard of Naboth. Whether he has gone down to possess it, and you will speak to him and say, thus saith Jehovah, hast thou killed and also taken possession? And thou shalt speak to him, saying, thus saith the Lord, thus saith Jehovah, in the place where dogs licked up the blood of Naboth shall dogs lick the blood, even thine. And Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee, because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of Jehovah." There is a battle for your relationship, for your time. I spoke to somebody here recently, and we talked about how in the conversation, they were really worried about Satan all the time. They were worried about what Satan was going to do, what he was going to say. He was speaking lies, and he was out to deceive and out to destroy. And it dawned on me in this conversation, why is he getting so much of our attention and time? Why does the enemy get so much of the spoken word out of our lips? You can't overcome evil with evil. Now, the Father wants us to be aware of the things that are going on with the enemy, but he says, I want you to overcome evil with good. Whatever things are lovely, whatever things are noble, whatever things are pure, whatever is good and righteous, to think on these things. Amen? Because every new day is another chance to change your life. And so if I could encourage you, as you're going through your relationships, as you're going through your heartaches and your trials, the ups and the downs, that you focus on the good parts of the relationship and build those things up, not just within the body, but also for yourself. Because I see when the body comes together a lot, that it can be easier for us to encourage each other when we're around, but sometimes when we're isolated and alone, we can forget that, just like Elijah did, right? He said, I'm alone. How many hadn't bowed their knee to Baal? Anybody? 7,000. Right? But sometimes we feel alone. Coming to a close, I did good with time, Aaron. Your successful home renovation, that's each and every one of you in here, from the person that was just born to the person that's close to the end of their life, requires your successful home renovation, you, as the house of Elohim, as the temple of the Most High, whether you are a little baby that is being prepared, or you are somebody near the end of their life that can't do what they did before, you can encourage. We find joy in the little babies, the little children, the blessings of that, and the wisdom of the aged, and everything in between as we build this family. Realize that Jehovah, the Lord, is the builder and architect. Colossians 1, for sake of time, we're not going to read it. Colossians 1, 10 through 23. That Yeshua, Jesus, is your point of contact to the Father. Hebrews chapter 12, 1 through 29. That when you actually do a study on the word study to show thyself approved, a worker that need not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth, that doesn't mean whoever gets to read the most of this in a day and the most of this in a week and the most of this in a life and the most repetition as you can possibly get in, and I'm the best because I read it the most and I can connect the most dots. That's not what that means. It means meditate on. When that scripture was given, people didn't have this. They would come to the Sabbath together. They would read the word, or it would be in their hearing, and they would have to go home and chew on that the whole week till they could come and get another piece of the word. Meditate on it daily. Whatever you find yourself in, when you find yourself in situations, whether good or bad, meditate it on daily. Learn to give him praise in all that you do. Talk to him daily. Encourage one another to talk to him daily, to sing psalms of praise to him, to reach out to him. Ask him about the plans that he has for your life. you, the believer, are the tradesmen and tradeswomen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 23. Learn to value and love the relationship that Yehovah and Yeshua are developing with you. Your house renovation will take time, and none of us know how long that we have. So don't be worried about how the project is going. Be worried that you're at work on the project. Your house renovation will be successful by following him wherever his spirit leads you. And realize that the scripture says to test the spirits. Amen? Because not every spirit that speaks to you is the spirit of the Most High. Some of the spirits that speak to you are the spirit of the enemy. And we need to learn his voice so that we can learn the distinction between the two, because the spirit of the Almighty will not ever conflict with the word that he has preserved for us. Amen? And we're going to hear a little bit more about relationships as the day goes.
Oh, thank you very much, Todd. Just as the band's going to go back up, we're going to have a couple more songs